Yeah. Welcome all of y'all. Welcome all of our online visitors. Come on, put your hands together and let everybody know that's watching online. We love them and they're part of our family as well. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Been a good week. How about that rain? Come on, somebody. How can you live in West Texas and not be thankful for the rain and just a good day? And we were cooped up in the house all day long. It's good to get out of the house. I love my family, but it's good to get out of the house too. So welcome. Glad you're here. Hey, we are, believe it or not, we're 2 weeks away from Easter. That just blows my mind that that Easter is upon us. And so we'll be giving you some instructions about our Easter services and when they're going to be. And Cole will share that with you a little bit later. But as we lead up to Easter, the biggest day in our faith, the biggest day in the Christian faith, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, knowing that we have a Savior and a God that is alive forevermore, that defeated death, hell, and the grave. Leading up to Easter, today and next Sunday, we're going to look at Jesus's life, and we're going to look at some things that took place in the last week of his life. I really believe that it's going to challenge us. I believe it's going to encourage us, and I pray that it motivates us. And so one of the things that we're going to talk about today, it's a huge move on Jesus's part. He knows that his time is limited. He knows he's about to leave this earth. And what does he choose to do on the very night before he's going to be arrested? What does he choose to do? We're going to look to the scripture and we're going to see how he chose to sit down with his 12 closest friends and eat a meal together. Jesus chose to sit down with his friends around a table and eat together. Let's read the scripture, Luke chapter 22. This last meal is known as the Last Supper. That's what we call it, biblically speaking. Luke chapter 22, I'm going to read verse 7 through 20, says this: Then came the day of the unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, and he said, Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it together. And they said to him, Where do you want us to prepare it? And Jesus said, Behold, when you have entered into that city, there will be a man carrying a jar of water, and he'll meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters into, and tell the master of that house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room, where I may eat this Passover with my disciples? And he'll show you a large upper room, furnished, prepared. And they went and they found just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table and his 12 apostles with him. And Jesus said these words, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, you know who's here. You know what everyone needs to hear. Holy Spirit, give us a message that will encourage us. Give us a message that will convict us. Have your will and have your way in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, I love to talk about this passage, and I love to talk about this topic for several reasons. If you have been at Bethel, if you've listened to us very much over the years, you're going to know and you're going to say, Cody speaks on this a whole lot. And I speak on this a whole lot because I really believe that the message that we're talking about today can change our lives physically. And it can change our lives spiritually. How many of you know we need to have a balance between the spiritual and the physical? This cross is this sign. And the cross that goes up, it signifies our spiritual relationship with God. But then there is this part of the cross that signifies the relationships that we have with one another. I don't care how spiritual you are. It doesn't matter how religious you are. If you don't learn to have relationships with people and with the body of Christ, you're not going to do much good for the kingdom of God. And I don't care how many friends you have or how many people like you. If you're not connected with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to to do much good either. There has to be a balance between the spiritual and the physical. And today, we're going to talk about both. We're going to talk about a couple of things that are really a couple of my favorite subjects in life. Jesus and food. Come on, somebody. Yeah, we're self-proclaimed foodies at my house. Like, we love food. If you know me at all, you know I love these two topics. And if I'm honest, these two topics are the focus of my life every day. They really are. Like, I wake up early. I'm getting old. I've always woke up early, but how many of you, the older you get, the earlier you wake up. Come on, somebody. Like, Lord, let me go back to sleep. And so I get up early in the morning, and the first thing I do is walk up to our bar. We have a big, long bar, and I just get my computer, I get my Bible out, and I just spend some time praying, I spend some time reading the Word of God, and I spend some time meditating. Jesus is the first thing on my mind when I wake up. And then, before I leave the house, one of the main decisions I have to make is this. What kind of meat am I going to lay out this morning so it will be thawed tonight so we can cook supper? We kill a whole beef at our house. We just do. We kill a whole beef. We have a freezer full. We got hamburger. We got sirloins. We got T-bones. Come on, somebody. We got chicken fry. We got hamburger. And you got to lay it out in the morning so it'll be thawed and you can cook it at night. I want us to talk a little bit about food this morning. I want to talk about cooking. How many know you need to learn to cook? Every one of you need to learn to cook just a little bit. Meals. We love meals. We love a table. How many of you have memories of a table that you ate at growing up? Maybe you have memories of a table you ate at with your children and even going out and eat. I just think there's something special when people get together around a meal and you have good, healthy conversations. I just think when we take the time out to go, I'm going to sit down at this table. Oh, I'm going to preach to you now. Can I preach to you? Make them kids turn them phones off at the table, y'all. Don't let your kids come get a meal and go to their room and play video games with one hand and eat with another hand. We have to, as parents, and we have to, as grown-ups, we have to set an atmosphere where we can be together as a family. Family is so important. I don't care if it's a big family, a small family, the empty nesters, husband and wife. Spend some time at the table. I think something special happens when we sit together at the table. And we're going to look at the Word of God, and I'm going to prove to you through the Word of God, Jesus thought there was something special about sitting down at a table and eating together as well. We're going to look at several instances in the Word of God. We're going to read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels. Those Gospels tell the story of Jesus' life as he walked on this earth. We're going to look and see how he ate many times with many different people, with a different genre of people, if you will. The first one we're going to look at is Mark chapter 6, verse 38, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. How many of you have heard that story? Let me hear you say a good amen. They're in a desolate place. They're in the country. They need something to eat. Everybody, the crowd's getting grumpy. The crowd's getting hungry. Mark 6, verse number 38 says, and Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? He's like, what do we got? Go figure it out, Peter. Quit coming to me complaining. You go figure this out. And when they went, they found out they had five loaves of bread and two fish. Some little boy's mama loved him, got up early, packed him a lunch. I'm sorry about all those other kids. They didn't get nothing, but one mama was a good mama, y'all. So Jesus, verse 39, he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the grass. Jesus kind of says, we got to organize this a little bit. So they sat down into groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, Jesus looked up to heaven, said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. How many know it is a miracle to have a crowd of 5,000 and everybody be satisfied? They've all eaten and they're all satisfied. And then they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. How many is so cool? Jesus takes these two fish and five loaves. He holds them up to God. God multiplies the little that we have. How many know little is much when God is in it? And God feeds 5,000 people. What a great moment. What a testimony to the power of God. But I'm going to tell you, for me, the part I would love the most about this story, it had to be the meal after the meal. Because there's 5,000. They just won't get their belly full. That's all they're worried about. But they feed the 5,000, and the 5,000 leave, and they go home, and then there's 12 baskets full, one for each disciple. And Jesus and the disciples, I see in my mind, they sit down and they have this little debriefing. They go, wow, what'd y'all think about that, Peter? Oh, doubting Peter, you didn't think we had nothing. And John's like, well, yeah, but did you see that one bunch? And they're just sitting around talking, wow, like we watched this multiply in our hands. Jesus, you did all of this. It had to be a cool moment that Jesus had with his disciples. I just love the meal after the meal. I told you a couple of weeks ago that me and Connor and Darren and Will and Jesse, five of us, went to Gatesville, Texas, and did a men's retreat. Man, it was good, and the worship team was awesome, and they didn't talk about my preaching. They talked about how good the worship was down there, and I'm okay with that. We go that first night, and it's awesome, and we have this altar call, and 150 men come to the altar, and when we get done, everybody's gone, we decide we got to go get us something to eat. Well, Will and Jesse want Taco Bell, and Connor wants Chicken Express, but Darren wanted Dairy Queen. And because Darren is sensitive and soft and gets his feelings hurt really bad, we just said, okay, we'll go to Dairy Queen. At like 10 minutes before close, it was an absolute wreck. They burned this, they burned that, they forgot our orders. But I'm just telling you, that whole weekend, I just remember sitting over there and Darren eating his double belt buster and Will having his steak finger basket and Connor had a chocolate dip cone. And I just remember us talking about how cool it was to see men worshiping and to see how God was moving in the lives of those people at Gatesville. It was just a moment in Dairy Queen of all places. Moment around a table of people just visiting and talking together, and then another thing that I want to share with you is Jesus had a meal at this guy named Levi's house. Levi was the tax collector. Levi was considered a sinner. He wasn't a church member. He wasn't a righteous guy. He was a sinner. Luke chapter 5, verse 29. And Levi made a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees, the religious people, and their scribes grumbled at Jesus' disciples. And they said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus met a man named Levi. Levi wanted his life changed. Levi wanted to serve God. And Jesus took time out to go to his house and sit down and eat a meal with him. How many of you think maybe Levi always remembered that moment the rest of his life where Jesus ate with them? Now, can I talk to you for real for just a second? Can I hear a good amen? Because some of you are like I used to be. You're a little wild and a little woolly and you're a little rugged. And you know what? You're already thinking, well, praise the Lord, I can go hang out with them sinners tonight. And I'm just saying, I'm being real. Some of you are very young and very immature in your faith. You've just come to Christ, and you're trying to do the best you can. And you're trying to quit an old lifestyle, and you're trying to quit some of your old ways that you've grown up in. And you need to be aware of how mature and how strong that you are in your spiritual journey, because some of you in here, you don't need to go hang out with Levi and all the tax collectors right now. You need to hang around in a good, safe environment with other believers that are just like you. Now, some of the rest of you, you are strong in your faith, and you have some friends that are living far from God, and if you have some self-control and you have some boundaries, you need to go eat with those people and let them live their life, because how many of you know they was probably telling some dirty jokes and drinking whiskey and doing some stuff over here at Levi's house, and Jesus didn't conform to their ways. We got to be careful where we hang out. Now, let me tell you a story one time. Years ago, I had this young couple that was coming to church. They got saved, probably 25 years old. They're trying to live right. They're trying to do right. Man, they had shared with me how they wanted some Christian friends that would uplift them and had good standards. And I'll never forget, it was around the holidays, and I got a phone call from this wife. And she called me, and she was in tears. And I said, what's going on? She said, we were going over to some people's house to have a holiday party. And she said, we were so excited and so thankful that we had finally found some good Christian friends that believe the way that we believe, that weren't trying to drag us back down into our old lifestyle. and said, on the way over to their house, and said, by the way, we would kind of consider them to be leaders in the church. On the way over there, the host called and said, we are ready for y'all. We got enchiladas, nachos, and we got the margarita machine out. Y'all come on, let's hang out tonight. And I'm just saying, you got to be careful what you serve to people that are trying to grow in their faith. Be careful what you promote for people that are trying to grow stronger in their faith. We are supposed to be salt and light and elevate others and not drag them back down. And you got to be careful. And I'm telling you the truth, and I'm telling you because I love you. Some of you don't need to be going and hanging out in those kinds of crowds. Can I hear a good amen? Know where you are on your faith journey. Jesus ate with the 12. Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus hung out with Levi. And now we see him hanging out at Mary and Martha's house. This story makes me laugh right here. Jesus was friends with their Mary and Martha. Jesus was friends with their brother named Lazarus. And watch what happens in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered into a village. And a woman named Martha said, come on into my house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Then tell her to get up and help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're troubled about many things. This is a comical story because how many of you know if you're going to eat at somebody's house, somebody in that house has to get the cobwebs out of the corner, sweep the dust out of the floor, and cook a meal. Come on, somebody. We always want to crucify Martha. Well, somebody had to fix supper because Mary obviously wasn't going to do nothing. But there's seasons and times when we serve and there's times when we sit. But what's so funny is Jesus, the Son of God, goes into this home with Mary and Martha and they lose their crap. Martha's in the kitchen and she's mad because Mary ain't doing what Martha thinks that Mary ought to do. And Martha's in control. Martha has control issues. She doesn't like Mary. And in the middle of Jesus sitting in the living room, Martha busts in and said, do you not care that I am one in the kitchen doing all this stuff? Tell my sister to get up and come in there and help me. That's dysfunctional, y'all. But what I love about it is even though they were dysfunctional, Jesus said, I'm still going to hang out in your home because I love you beyond your dysfunction. That's so good. I'm glad y'all got that. But anyway, how would you like to be known as the family that Jesus visited that showed your dysfunction when he was there? Jesus ate with the 12. Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus ate at Levi's house. He ate with Mary and Martha. And then I love this other one. After Jesus had been crucified, risen from the dead, one day, seven of his disciples decide they're going to go out in the boat and they're going to go fishing. They're out there fishing. They fished all night and they hadn't caught anything. These are professional fishermen, you know. And in the morning time, somebody's sitting on the bank over there of the sea, and somebody sitting on the bank hollers out, hey, you professional fishermen, y'all been catching any fish? And I'm sure Peter'd be like, you know how Peter is. I don't know what Peter said. But winds up, it's Jesus sitting on the bank. And Peter finally recognizes who it is, jumps out of the boat, swims to the seashore. And the Bible says that the seven disciples sat around a campfire and had grilled fish with Jesus that morning. Jesus had spent these moments with people eating together that I guarantee you shaped their lives forever. I want to share a few stories of mine. You've maybe heard some of these. But stories and moments and memories that I have as a child. And the reason that I'm saying this to you is because we can have these moments with Jesus, these big moments, but we need to create these moments with our own children and create these moments with our own spouse and create these moments with our own friends, because you can have spiritual encounters with Jesus, but you got to have physical encounters with the people Jesus has placed in your life. My mom, she was the best mom growing up. She was the best mom ever. My dad rodeoed for a living, and so he was gone a whole lot. He wasn't home very much. We were poor. We were broke. We didn't have anything. We lived in an old single-wide trailer house, one of them metal-sided deals where when the wind blew, it went all the way from one end to the other. It was just a trailer house, but my mom made it a home. And one of the ways that my mom made it a home is she always had meals. My dad rodeoed. My mom worked two or three jobs to make ends meet. And so one of the favorite meals that I remember having a quick throw together was green chili pie. That's what it was. It was Doritos around a Pyrex dish with hamburger meat in the bottom and a can of cream of mushroom soup poured over the top and some cheese drizzled on it, and Mama cooked it in the oven. We thought we was in high cotton when we was eating that, y'all. We had a lot of tuna fish sandwiches. How many of you been broke? You had to eat tuna fish sandwich when you was growing up. My mama made chocolate chip cookies with pecans in them. I don't even know why, but I just remember when I was a kid, I'd come home and Mom would have made chocolate chip cookies. And maybe some of y'all can tell me why. I don't know why she did this, but my mama, when she got them out of the oven, going to cool them off, she laid newspapers all over the kitchen table and took them off the cookie sheet and put them on those newspapers. I don't know why, but it did. I remember it. Cool moments with my mom. My mom learned how to be that kind of woman from her mother, my Nanny Jean. My Nanny Jean lived next to us when we were growing up, when I was kids, and we ate many meals at Nanny Jean's house. We had this bar, big round bar, and we'd sit at that table, and one of the things I remember eating the most was cornbread and beans. Cornbread and beans, and then the next day, we had cornbread and sweet milk. We'd crumble up the leftover cornbread in the milk and eat it. It was good. It was great. My family worked. We trained horses. We roped all day long. And some nights, my grandmother, my Nanny Jean, wouldn't get home in time, and she would stop by Mr. G's Burgers in Abilene. How many of y'all show me how many were Mr. G's Burgers? That was like generic Dairy Queen, I'm just saying. But the hamburgers were 99 cents. And Nanny Jean would stop, and she'd count up who was roping and who was at the house, and she'd bring home six or eight hamburgers. Listen, we were so broke, we didn't even get cheeseburgers. We added our cheese from the refrigerator when we got home. We didn't get drinks. We had iced tea. How many of you remember them old cracking ice trays that you had in the freezer? Come on, y'all. We had iced tea, and we'd pile all the French fries in the middle of the table on a broken, open-up sack. And we, I mean, just memories and moments. My dad's parents, Granddaddy Red and Nanny Cherry. Granddaddy Red loved big breakfast, get up early, make biscuits, fry eggs. It was awesome. Late night, I can remember spending the night with my Granddaddy Red and Nanny Cherry. And 10 o'clock at night, I'd say, Nanny, I sure would love to have some of them homemade sopapillas and honey. Boy, up out of that there, she'd go light her one of them big, long Virginia Slim 120. 20 cigarettes, roll out some sopapilla dough and fry them in the fry daddy. Come on, somebody. Moments, man. Moments that shape me, people that shape me in my life. And then me and Jennifer get married, and before kids, man, we didn't have kids and we lived on the ranch. And Monday night, when we first got married, until we had kids, every Monday night was chicken fried steak night. Yeah, with cream gravy, y'all, and French fries. We had it every Monday night, just memories. And she and I drove to church at Roaring Springs. And on the way home from Roaring Springs, you could stop at a little barbecue joint at Dickens called the Ponderosa. And after church, we'd get a chopped brisket sandwich and two sacks of Lay's potato chips. Just moments that I remember that me and Jennifer got to spend together. And then came the kids. We had to get up and cook breakfast then. Breakfast with my kids and tubby sourdough biscuits. We ate lots of beef and drank lots of black coffee, and we ate on the back porch. We ate in the house. We ate at a campfire. Sometimes we ate on real plates. Sometimes we ate on paper plates. Sometimes we ate communal. That's what we called it at our house. We got a bar, a little deal in the middle of our kitchen. And sometimes when we cook beef, we just lay it on the bar, chop it up. Everybody circles around the deal, and we caveman it. We just eat like this and talk to one another that close. Moments that I spent eating with my family and with my friends. And I'm telling you, it's a game changer. And Jesus shows us how to do it. You say, Cody, I don't know how to cook. And I say, well, then you've got to learn to cook. YouTube it. That's what this new generation says. You can learn everything on YouTube. Learn to cook. You say, Cody, I don't have time. You know what I would say to that? We either make a way or we make an excuse, one or the other. And I'm not saying you have to do it three times a day, or not even saying you have to do it every day, but I'm saying start somewhere and sit down at a table or a bar and eat with the people that God has placed in your life, and you will see a transformation in those relationships. It's a game changer. Learn to cook. Buy pre-made, pre-packaged stuff. How many know they make pre-packaged stuff you can just put in the oven for 30 minutes? I was at the grocery store here about a week ago, and I ran into this lady from church here. She's standing in line. She's holding frozen lasagna, and I walk up. I'm right behind her, and I just start laughing. I'm like, what's for supper tonight? She said, frozen lasagna. I said, I can't wait to get to church to make fun of you Sunday morning about eating frozen lasagna. She goes, no, really, our family, it's so important for us that we eat together. She said, we just built a new house in the last year, and our whole house was built and engineered around a big family table where we could eat together. And she said, I just happened to be tonight. I've been doing this. My husband's been farming. We've been, and you know what? We're just not going to go without eating, so we bought some frozen lasagna. To sit down and to eat moments, man, moments. I'm convinced if you and I try this, it will become routine in our life, and it will be a game changer in our life. Even, listen to me, even if you sit down with friends and a cup of coffee and a croissant, even if it's just you and your spouse, even if it's you by yourself, the Bible says God never leaves us and he never forsakes us. And some of you need to sit down by yourself and invite the Lord to sit down at the table with you, because you've spent no time talking to him all week long. Moments. Sometimes it's going to go good. Sometimes it's going to go bad. Sometimes it ain't going to, you're going to burn some stuff. You're going to burn some stuff. When Jennifer and I first got married, we moved to Tongue River Ranch, and I never will forget, she didn't know how to cook, and we taught her a little bit how to cook. And so one night I come home, we ain't been married long, and I open the door, and when I open the door, smoke rolls out of the front door. We go to the oven, and it's like she's made cornbread had boiled over all in the oven, and smoke everywhere, it's a mess. And we clean it up, you know, and then about a week later, I show back up, and I open the front door, and smoke comes rolling out again. And this time, she's just sitting there bawling, crying, like, I don't know. So we go look, and it's the cornbread again. I said, babe, how much cornmeal did you put in? She said, I put a cup. I said, how much flour did you put in? She said, you put flour in cornbread? There was nothing to stick together. It was just boiling over. It was a wreck. But you know what? It was still a moment, even though it went wrong. Something I'm talking about 27 years later. I'm going to close. It's just these moments. I want to close with a few benefits of eating together. I just first service. There's a man that comes to this church that used to run the Boys Ranch in Abilene, the Boys Ranch. And he said, you know what we always did at the Boys Ranch? We made all the boys come together and eat family style at a table together. Because children are hungry for that. Children long for that. They need that. They brought them together. The American Heart Association, listen to this. The American Heart Association says this. 91% of families that felt less stressed when they ate meals together regularly. Parents, you may not get it all figured out, but 91% of the people say, I feel less stressed because we sat down and ate a meal together. Stanford University, a liberal university, says this, eating meals together improves self-esteem and communication skills. How many of you want your children to grow up and have a strong self-esteem in Christ Jesus? It can happen at the supper table. How many of you want your children to grow up and not be looking down all the time, but to lift their eyes up and look somebody in the eye and communicate strong? It starts at a table. It's a game changer. Last stat, Conrad, y'all come help me. Last stat is this. The United States Army said this. The U.S. Army said eating meals together enhances emotional and mental well-being, and it instills values and it establishes tradition. Even the Army knows that families that grow up together are stronger emotionally, stronger mentally when they hang out around the table. It's powerful. It moments, man. Back to the beginning of my message today. Guarantee you those 12 in the upper room that ate that last supper with Jesus, guarantee you that was a moment in their life that they retold that story many, many times for years later. Guarantee you Levi remembered when Jesus kind of ate with him and the sinners. Mary and Martha remembered the time that they went nuts in front of Jesus. The seven disciples, promise you, they remembered that campfire and those fish. Moments, man. Let's learn to tap in and create these moments that we spend with the Lord and moments that we spend with those around us. And so today, in lieu of that last supper, in lieu of that meal together, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion today. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion together today as the body of Christ, as the family of Christ. And here's what I want to challenge you to. Allow this moment. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Look. We call this open communion here. That means you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to have ever even attended this church before. But as long as you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God, you can come to the table and dine with Jesus here. And I want you to know something. There's only one reason that we get to come to this table and eat with Jesus and remember what he did for us. There's only one reason. because he shed the blood that washed us white as snow, that separated the sin in our life, and we came into relationship with a good, loving Father. So when you come today and celebrate communion, remember that because of Jesus, you're getting to sit at the table with God the Father. And when you sit at the table with God the Father, all things are possible. The same night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." After they ate, he took the cup and he said, "This wine represents my blood that brings forgiveness of sins." So today I'm fixing to pray. I want to invite you to come and receive communion. There'll be a line over there. This side go that way. This side go that way. Let's start at the back and come down and receive. On this side, I'll hand you a piece of bread and I'll say, "This is the body of Christ broken for you." And then you step over to Cole and he'll say, "The blood of Christ shed for you." Listen to me. Sometimes your bread will break off in the wine. Don't freak out. Step back. We're at the table with the Father. It's okay if the kids knock the glass over. It's okay if the cornbread gets burnt. It's not about that. If you lose your bread, step back over to me. I'll hand you another one because we want to celebrate. We want to eat and we want to remember what Christ did for us. So stand on your feet. We'll close. I'll pray, and then we'll serve communion. Father, we love you. We thank you for today, for every person that's here. Thank you for the examples you've given us in Scripture, how Jesus just hung out with people and ate supper and breakfast and lunch with them. Lord, I pray today as we come to the table that you've set before us, and as we partake in communion, we remember what you've done for us. Lord, I pray right now that even people will begin to plan this next week and how they're going to hang out with somebody and how they're going to cook a meal for somebody. I pray parents right now would just say, "I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this." That friends and husbands and wives, Lord, we just pray right now that this next week we would have some moments as we simply sat down and ate together. Lord, I pray for the conversations that we're going to have this week. Conversations that will glorify God. Conversations that would bring forgiveness to families. Lord, we just love you and we thank you for all you do for us. Bless the bread, bless the wine today. Let it be real and let it be a moment when we partake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.